11 o'clock, that's the phone in this morning, 0500 909 693, and we'll talk more about that to Lord Adonis later on. Now, a reunion, two people at the heart of a story that's as powerful today as it was 20 years ago. 96 people died in the Hillsborough disaster, and on Wednesday there'll be a memorial service at Anfield to mark the anniversary. Liverpool fan David was in the Leppings Lane end that day, and he never forgot one police officer, Fiona Nicol. She helped get people out of the pen he was trapped in, making room for him and people around him to literally get breathing space and eventually to get out. Five Live has reunited David and Fiona. They let us record their meeting.
I was living in Reading at the time, and I set off very early to go and pick up a mate in Liverpool. We were using my car. So, as everybody knows, absolutely glorious day. Before I'd picked my friend up, it was such a lovely day. My car, I had a black Capri at the time, you know, very trendy. And I thought, it was a lovely day, and I thought, I must clean the car. The car looks a mess. So I drove onto a car wash, and there was a steel lip on the ramp, and it forced my exhaust apart. So I said to the guy, you've got to fix this. And he said, oh, yeah, I'll be with you in a minute. I said, no, I'm going to the match. And, of course, everybody was, you know, alerted to this, and it was, he's got to get this, got to get his things, he's got to get his car to the match. So they fixed it in double quick time, but it was still an hour. So I was an hour behind, so I was running late anyway. Then we had the traffic problems around Stockport, and it was a long way in. And I finally got to the ground. There was usual melee outside the ground, a lot of rubbish, a lot of people all over the place. And went through the turnstiles, through the tunnel with me mate, and we went left into the left-hand pen. And then very quickly, there was a load of people coming behind us, and then very quickly got pushed over to the left, and I couldn't see my friend at all. Pushed down as well, pushed further towards the pitch, but not that far. And, you know, I was, 26 then? And a seasoned Liverpool fan, and I'd stood in the cop for years and years. And I just knew that there was something wrong.
The Saturday itself was actually my day off, but the community team, obviously the match had been organised for a while, and the community team I work with every now and again, they were working it, they'd asked me to work with them, and they were all my friends, and it was going to be a big day, it was an all-day event, so I'd gone down to the football ground. I'd worked there dozens of times before, but I'd never worked with the community team before. We all got us points at the beginning of the match. My point was down the other end of the pitch, by the Liverpool end, and my friend I was with that day, she'd gone up to the Nottingham Forest end.
Of course, no stewards then, was there? Or was there? Yes, there were stewards, but not as many as you see now.
No, it were mainly police officers. Yeah. There were police officers dotted all the way around the pitch. Mm-hmm. The stewards were there, but it was ours. Mm. I think the ground.
Yeah.
And I remember walking up and down. I remember talking to the fans in the pens as such. Because I remember seeing some scouts in the in one of the pens. And I was talking to one of the scoutmasters for quite a while. Things were happening. I didn't know at the time what were happening, but I didn't have a radio at the time. I didn't have any communication, but before we had personal radios in them times. And I obviously didn't know what was happening, but I went into the left-hand pen and started the scout. Master and the scouts were in there, and I started telling them to get out. I didn't know what was happening, but something was amiss.
That's the really, really interesting thing about this, because I knew that there was something wrong. I knew that there was a crush that was getting worse, and it certainly wasn't getting any better, and I knew that I was in trouble. And I, you know, for my sins, I was shouting up at an officer who was in the upper tier, and nothing was being done. And I was turning to the pitch, and all I could see was not a lot being done on the pitch. And I knew that there was something wrong, and then you could hear fans saying that somebody had died, and then you could hear fans saying, you know, we've got to get out, we've got to get out, there's something wrong here. And there was a couple of girls that came past me. One of them had passed out, it was a sister, and I was pinned up against the barrier. That was a, you know, a big thing for me. I felt really, really scared then. So I didn't know what to do. I couldn't move. But you were at the back, And you were the only one, to me, that took any initiative.
I originally went in to get to the Scouts. I don't know why. They were just children, I suppose. Yeah, so. Yeah. I never heard any screams, any shouts. It was the general roar of a crowd. I never heard any distress from people.
No, nothing,
it was just... The noise was too deafening from the crowd.
Yeah,
I never heard anybody help, shout for help, scream, ever.
I saw you pull people out. I saw you pull big fellas out. And you kept pulling and pulling and pulling. And it got to the point whereby I could feel less pressure. Now, without a shadow of a doubt, that's down to you. And I thought about it, been thinking about it for 20 years, and I didn't think I'd be here sitting next to you. And all I can say is thanks, really. But, you know, it was a very, very strange day.
I can't say to this day why I reacted at that point. It was just... I remember, I was from the pen, I was on the pitch, and the pen to the right. I remember seeing the Cub Scouts in there, and I remember seeing one of the Cub Scouts was 12, 13 years old, and he had a look of absolute terror on his face, and that's no reason for it. I couldn't know why, but he looked terrified. So I'd opened the gate onto the pitch off the left-hand pen, not that pen you were in.
Ah, right.
To get the Cub Scouts out. To have that look of sheer terror, I didn't know what it was about or why he was frightened, but he was terrified, this young lad. Mm. And it was just the face. Nothing looked any different from any other football match I'd been at. It all looked the same as any other football match. From my point of view, I couldn't see any difference whatsoever. I never heard anything different. Nobody was screaming at me. In fact, there were a couple of people at the front saying, "It's getting a bit crowded in here, love." Or, there was no, like, help me, or...
Yes.
I had a few people saying it's getting a bit crowded in here.
Yeah. I think I'm right in saying, I don't even know this, the match kicked off at 3. I don't know that. Maybe it did or not. But Peter Beardsley hit the bar, and there's a talk amongst everybody who was involved with Hillsborough that if had that goal gone in, then that would have been serious, serious trouble, because people would probably have wanted to see the goal or be part of the celebrations and everything else. But in terms of time, from being in there and from being pulled out, no, don't know.
Time went to pot for me that day, to tell the truth. Yeah. But I didn't even know the match had started. I was quite surprised when I was told that several days later the match had actually started, because it was before the match started when I remember seeing these Cub Scouts and speaking to them, and then asking. One of the ambulance, St John's ambulance people, because they were sat to the side of me, and shouting them over.
Right.
And that was, and I'm not saying I'm certain, but I didn't realise the match had even started at that point.
Wow.
Other police officers, I know, didn't know what was happening, because I was shouting for them to help me.
Yeah.
And I remember shouting at a couple of police officers to help me. And they suddenly looked round, and it was just a total shock on their face, because they obviously didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
And then when they'd look round, the faces just changed totally. And then they suddenly realised what was happening as well. And I do remember shouting quite a few people.
You weren't just shouting, you were hauling people out, fellas. I thought, good grief, it shouldn't get to me.
And people doing as they were told when I shouted at them.
Yeah. You were 15 feet away from me, and I could see what you were doing. So you're pulling people out, and, you know, there was loads of people in between me and you.
And
so you pull that many out that it relieved the pressure at the back.
I'd seen somebody from the other side what I wanted to get to, and somebody had shouted to me. I'd heard at some point, "Help him," and it was a small boy. And somebody had shouted to me, "Help him." My only way to get in was...
To pull people out.
To get in. I wanted you lot out of the way so I could get to him. I wasn't thinking that you lot were in danger as well, or other people were in danger.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get to this boy.
Yeah.
That was my only thought.
And did you manage?
Yeah, but he was one of the boys that died. Him and his dad had died that day.
I went to the match last night with my daughter. She's 20, and she was 6 weeks old. You know, and things like that, driving home and thinking, you know, she nearly lost her dad. I didn't go to a footy game at all until my daughter was 4. And So I've moved from down south to Huddersfield. My daughter used to go to the university nursery. She started rooting through all these. They had a box full of stuff that the kids used to dress up in, you know. And one of them was a Sheffield Wednesday shirt. So she used to run around the nursery with the Sheffield, unbeknown to me, I didn't know this. And so Sheffield Wednesday were in the FA Cup final. I don't know when it was, might have been 96 or something, you know. And she came in and she said, "I'm a Sheffield Wednesday fan now, Dad." And of course, saying it to me, like, "I'm not having this." Like, so I said, "Why?" She said, "Oh, we get all this clothes on the nursery and I put them in Sheffield Wednesday shirts." And so I was just, "I'm not having this." And it was enough to take her to the cop in Liverpool. And I had her on my show. I've still got the photo in my wallet, you know, just to prove it. Like, but it was just such a, it was quite an emotionally driven thing. And since then, she's been the most bonkers Liverpool fan that you've ever heard of. And she got me back into football. And I feel incredibly lucky to be alive. And I felt that back then as well.
Small things don't seem to matter no more. I don't get upset about minor things or small things very often. Because at the end of the day, some of those people lost their lives. And it's their families. That's now, especially now as a mother.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything worse on the planet.
April the 15th means nothing to me. The date itself means nothing. But what really gets me is the first really nice sunny day in April. And there's no leaves on the trees. Everything's dead crisp. And it's sunny in the sunshine. And you feel warm. But there's a chill in the air because it's not summer yet.
I've spent the last 20 years trying to avoid the memories, to tell the truth. I've moved away from Hammond Road, I've moved away from Sheffield, I've moved away from football grounds. Mm. That was my particular way of dealing with it at the time. Mm. I've never been to Liverpool. Mm. Liverpool accent, your Liverpool accent, it's just, it's, I've spent 20 years of avoidance.
Yeah.
So little things do. Sometimes bring back quite strong memories, which I've hidden somewhere at the back of my brain somewhere.
It's been absolutely wonderful to meet you, Fiona, after all this time and everything. And yes, the memory's still there, and of course it's you, and I've still got to hear your shouts. This won't give me closure.
No, I don't think.
Because there were too many, things going on. There was you, of course there was you. But, you know, I still have memories of the two girls, and one of the, there were two sisters, and one of them had passed out, and I need to know what happened to them. I need to know that they got out. And it would be fab if there was some way of finding out how we, you know, nothing political, no axe to grind, just where were you? X marks the spot where you were. This is where you went. And you'd be able to track who crossed your path along the line, you know. And I just think that it would go a long, long way to help a lot of people who were there on the day, I think.
I must admit, I've always had a lot of questions of what happened to these, or why did that happen over there? And I've never read anything about it. I know the Taylor Report's got... I ended up going to the tribunal in Sheffield. Just for a quick bit of evidence. But, I mean, they listened to... They listen to all sorts, didn't they? Yeah. The tribunal. So I'm presuming the Taylor Report's come out with all that. Uh-huh. And it's all written in there.
Right.
But it doesn't give you personal where you were and what happened and you seeing the two girls. And
that's all you really want to know, isn't it? You know, you just need to know, are they okay, or, you know.
It's like that. I told about them Cub Scouts. I know they got out because I took them out.
Good.
But what happened to them after that, I don't know.
Yeah.
That particular day, I think I acted as Fiona. Not a South Yorkshire police officer as such. Because at the time, no matter what training I'd had, no matter what I'd done before, any experience I'd come through before, nothing, absolutely nothing, put me up for what happened that day. I do remember seeing some other colleagues that reacted different to me. And so I've always said that whatever happened, I did it as Fiona, not as a South Yorkshire police officer, but I was there. And one of the first things as a police officer is to save lives. But as a human being, my first thought was to try and help anybody I could. When you said I helped you pull your hair out, I don't think I've never thought I've saved anybody's life that day.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you did.
I think I assisted, maybe assisted other people in help saving their own lives. You got yourself out.
Yeah, yeah.
Other people got themselves out. Uh-huh. I remember at one point being over the fence and pulling people out. Over the front, because yeah. And it was the strongest that were getting out, not the weakest. Mm. I didn't have the strength to get to them. It's probably that feelings of uselessness I've felt for a long time, of not having that strength to help the people. The people that were strong enough got out. Mm. I couldn't help the weak ones, which is what I wanted to do.
Well, that's Fiona Nicol, who worked as a police officer at Hillsborough that day, talking to the Liverpool fan, David Galuli. She pulled David out of the pen he was trapped in. They were reunited by reporter Stephanie Parr, and the 20th anniversary is, of course, on Wednesday. Five Live Breakfast will be live in Liverpool on Wednesday morning, and we'll bring you the memorial service live on Wednesday afternoon.